Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 558. Now, if you've tuned in for the first time, tune back out quickly. Okay. Because it's almost like midweek light, this is. This is where I chat to Steve and Pete. You all right, lads?
Hello.
Hi there.
And we met up, what, last weekend, didn't we? It was a nice little surprise, actually. Me and the missus there turned up at the bar first. A table reserved for us there. And we found these an envelope full of free drinks vouchers addressed to Steve. Of course, we got stuck in. But nice. Steve's well-connected in Cardiff, by the seems of it.
I still can't work out how they realised. Did you actually ask to see if there was a table reserved for you? Because I didn't tell you there was a table reserved.
Well, no, I just said, I'm Steve Martin, thanks. Said, oh, all right. And they should be.
Do you do that in most bars you go into?
Yeah.
Cool.
And, the Steve Martin.
Yeah, and it worked.
White hair and stuff.
Yeah. The Steve Martin came in a little bit later looking very peeved, you know, the Hollywood actor saying, where's my drinks gone? Hey! There we are then. So, Steve, Haig and London Oil, they're flying. Why do you sell them? Why?
They're flying.
They are.
Do you ever pay attention to Twitter? Someone just said on Twitter, I said, Steve's going to have a last laugh because Haig and London Oil are flying. And
Pete said he
sold them. You've managed to time the bottom there, Steve, perfectly. Yeah. Time the bottom.
I literally did it last week or something as well. Are you joking?
What did you sell at? What did you sell at in the end, Steve?
What's the code? I want to look at it.
No, come on.
You should know the code, Steve. HNL.
You're lying. Unless you give me the code, I'm not going to believe you.
HNL.
Right.
You sold them at 3p, and now 6.
Oh, you.
What did you buy them at? 9 or something.
Hang on, I'll tell you now.
Well, no, but 12, wasn't it? 13, something like that.
Oh, what the?
They're doing well. 6.7 they are. Did you time the bottom, Steve? What do you sell them at? What price?
Oh, I had that for ages. I sold it the other week, so I probably sold it about... Hang on, let me put the map. Yeah, so it was around about 4p.
That's nearly the bottom, though. Yeah, literally. It went at 3.8. You're perfect timing, Steve.
You said the other week, that's...
Yeah, yes. Justin was mocking you for still being in them.
It's almost as... Don't blame me. You press the sell button. You're in charge of your investments. People who listen to the podcast...
You said they were probably going to go under.
You said. Listen, we always say, don't buy anything based solely... I mean, so selling as well. Tip or recommendation on this podcast. Do your own research, Steve. Did you do your own research? Didn't do it when you got into them. Didn't do it when you got out of them. And so you can't blame anyone else. That they've almost... It's almost as if they said, Steve, right, Steve's out. Let's go.
But I had a quick look at them and I can't see there's any news or anything. So what's going on there? And that's just annoying, isn't it? It's one of those ones that I get annoyed about because there's no reason for any of this price movement, or is there some rumor going around or something? And, you know, is there a bit of knowledge, I don't know, in the city about it that is causing this price spike? But otherwise, it's just a lottery, isn't it? And that's annoying because, Steve, what did you buy in that? All jokes aside, Steve, what did you buy them at? Like 10p or 12p or whatever it was?
I don't know. I'm looking at the. I sold at 3.75p.
That is lower than the bottom. Yes, pretty much. I mean, 3.6.
52-week low is 3.5.
But
you bought them at like what, 10p or whatever, and you're sat there at 3.75, and Justin's saying they're going to go under. Whatever. And you look at it and just go, well, yeah, I suppose I'll have to just cut my loss and sell. And then for no particular reason, 2 weeks later or whatever, it's now at least doubled from where it was then.
No, that was the reason, because Steve sold.
Yeah.
But if you look at the chart there, there were RSI was oversold for like almost a couple of months. So, you know, you could see where that kind of oversold. It was due a bounce sooner or later, Steve. If I were you, I held on to it.
Why didn't you say that a few weeks ago rather than they're probably going to go under? Exactly. You better sell them.
I did. Go back and listen. I said, hold on to them.
No, you didn't, and you know you're lying.
I said, what have you got to lose? I said, there'll probably be a big bounce now soon. Come in.
But, Justin, answer my question.
Yeah, was that in a sarcastic voice, though?
Yeah.
Go on, answer the question.
My point. What can you do in that scenario when, and then it's now just pure what luck that it's just got decided to bounce? I mean,
we can do. Listen to the podcast when Steve sells, buy. Yeah. When Steve buys, you sell.
See, where you're skirting around, scooting around this.
Steve is a contrarian indicator, literally. You, Steve, don't worry about the charts and stuff. Listen to what Steve's saying, do the opposite. You know,
it is literally the story about, I was out with some friends the other day, and they were like, should we put some money on this horse? It's supposed to win. And it was like, the odds weren't great on it. And I was like, I'm not. And everyone put some money on it. And I said, I bet you if I put money on it, I'll lose. And in the end, I didn't put any money in. Horse came in, didn't it? And they all won money. I was like, well, you wouldn't have won if I put money in.
See?
Classic, isn't it? Me.
Anyway, listen, let's get on to things that are more positive, shall we? And so our experiment, 1,000 to 100,000 in 50 trades or less. Our first trade, of course, starting with £1,000, earning 10% off each trade, hopefully, is EasyJet. And they've been doing quite well. I mean, as I'm looking Friday, up over £10.82. And it's odd because they had a pullback in the week. And someone tweeted me saying, I see this going back down to £10, £10.30, maybe £10. And I looked at a five-minute chart, and there's a very good support level at 10.50. Now, well, I'm hoping they don't touch 10.50. I'm hoping they go above that as on a support level and keep going higher. And they did do that on the Friday. They just literally took off in the morning because it was ex-dividend day on Thursday. So all the FTSE 100 stocks, quite a few of them anyway, quite a lot of them, were ex-dividend. So obviously that money came off their balance sheets. They dropped by that amount. They're paying out. And it took the 100 down, you know. And so it came down on the Thursday. And then literally rebounded on Friday, which is, I'm 18%, 8% now, we're looking for a 10% target. So we're 2% off that. And I think, now as this gets stronger, right, the chart, it will continue to go because momentum's going with it. Because we're still early in here. You know, there aren't really any, major bullish signs as yet. But as we see, I'm looking now, the RSI is heading, it's about 49. Now, a good price, good strength price is between 50 and 70. So once it starts to give up 50, we're going to start flying, you know? And that'd be quite nice for an EasyJet share. Yes. So that's good, isn't it? Eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to laugh at, there's a guy called Jordi Wagana. Jordi Wagana, I think it is, on Twitter. And about a week after we bought EasyJet, he said he had a tip for me, which is EasyJet. He said, I'm in big time, you know, at £10 something. I said, I'm in a £9.99. And a week later, doing quite well. He says, how's my tip for you going? Good flying, are we? And then I said, yeah, thanks for the tip. And he suggested something else. He said, I'm looking for your next big one, HOC, Oxchild Mining. He says, and literally, he'd been rallying like crazy this. He said, I bought a bit on the drop. There was no drop at all. It was like a spike, essentially. And, a strong candle going up. And I said, where's the drop? And he's worth following. Steve, do you ever read your Twitter account?
No.
Are you on delay, Steve?
Am I on today?
Are you on delay?
Am I on today?
read into that what you will. There we are. But so hopefully by this time next week, if everything goes right, if you don't have a major tanking of the stock market, we should be achieving our first trade, guys. That's good, isn't it? Hey.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Pete, are you still there? What is Pete doing?
Oh, I know he's gone. He's got the little bubbles flashing on his face.
He's got bubbles flashing on his face. Pete, are you back?
No, the bubbles are still flashing. He'll come back in a minute.
Just wait. Anyway, Steve, this is probably optimum time for your... you mentioned just before the podcast there, you had a rant about a stock. What is it and why? What's happening?
Well, Motive Bio, I obviously bought into them a few weeks ago, and on their little spike, I sold out. But I put in a stop... Pete's gone there. I put a stop loss in at 60 pence. Now, the problem is... Now, this is a question I wanted to ask you, actually. It closed at 63 on the day before, then it opened at, 46. So it sold out at 46 pence.
Yeah.
I lost loads on that. In fact... I was supposed to make quite a bit of money off that. I ended up not making that much. Quite disappointing.
What are you doing, Pete?
I think my broadband just dropped out for some, brilliant reason.
That never happens, Pete.
Pete, no, it doesn't. While you were away, Steve, I had a very good. We'd finish off our discussion on EasyJet. You missed the end of that, anyway.
So
this time next week, we should hopefully stock market doesn't tank. We should be there. So again, Steve is talking about Motive Buyer, which he bought into doing it off his own back by doing his own research because he's a stickler for that. He doesn't stop researching.
Oh,
Steve.
He's thorough.
Head, in the documents, all the documents they released, non-stop, reading every line, in between the lines, upside down, back to front. And why did you get into Motive Bio again, Steve? Just give us a brief summary.
I'm not going to go into details, to be honest, but it just seemed like a good stock at the time. It just worked for me in my portfolio.
It just seemed to fit. It just seemed to fit snugly in there. It really looked nice in my portfolio. Yeah. I was looking at all the letters I had, and they're almost alphabetical. I didn't have an M, so I thought I'd get an M, and that'll sit in nicely. M for Motive, brilliant, excellent, that's in there. So they're doing is, antibiotics advice, because antibiotics are becoming less effective, so they come up with a drug for that, basically. But they're going for a NASDAQ listing. Now, this is what happened to Steve. He did ask. He said, "Should I lock in some profits from Motive Bio because they're in rising?" I said, "Yeah, just put a stop loss in." Now, this was amazing timing if you got it right, Steve, because the next day they released an RNS and they're delaying the pricing of their NASDAQ listing. Now they're not delaying the listing. I mean, they're not stopping the listing. It's apparently it's due to uncertain market scenarios or environment
and conditions.
Conditions. That's it. And so they basically gapped down. Like right, about 15%. So, Steve, they're at about 66 pence. And Steve, for a stop loss, what? At 60, did you, Steve?
60 pence, yeah.
Yeah. So they gapped down below that.
But a lot below.
Yeah, so they sold at about 49 pence.
46.
46.
Oh, dear.
But the thing is, though, I didn't even notice that because when you messaged me saying if you sold out, I said yes, and I was quite happy about it. I said, great, I've just sold out at 60 pence. It's only when I went to buy back in, I was like, hang on a minute, why is that sold out at 46? It took me ages to work it out.
You've got to get your book out, Steve. You've got to get your book out. You do everything wrong.
I think I've had a stock like that that's happened to me on before. And I'm sure Justin has as well. He just uses this podcast to sort of laugh at us.
Yeah, do you know what? I cannot be allowed in my eyes because basically at some point it would have been 50 pence as it was dropping. Sorry, 60 pence as it was dropping now. They should have on their buy, sell, and given it to me at 60 pence.
Yeah, so what? I know.
Maybe just stop loss on the snooze box.
There's many flaws in the stock market and these share things.
I got,
and I'm discovering all of them.
Yes,
that's how you learn. Right. Do you know how to avoid that?
Go on.
Right. So when you go on Harry, Hargreaves and Larry Lansdowne's side, Harry and Larry, they're laughing again and they're on their front. Look at Steve. The only winner he's ever had. We've taken a big chunk of him because he's messed up on the stop loss. Brilliant. Oh, chuck me another pasty, Harry. So you put a stop loss in, right? And that will sell it at that level or below, right? Now, if you put a limit order in as well, it wouldn't have happened. So if you put a stop loss at, say, 60 pence, and then you stipulate a limit order, which is say 59 pence or 58 pence, whatever, then they wouldn't have sold it if it gapped down below 58 pence. They'd only sold it in that bracket between 58 and 60, whatever the stop loss is and limit loss is. So that's basically a bracket, you see. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I will understand what you're saying, but I'm not sure how to do it. I've never done that before, but I will bear that in mind.
You can put a stop loss in. No, be careful when, like you did it with EasyJet, you put a limit order in to sell, and it'll not sell anything below that if you sell it. So yours, when you put a limit order, not a stop loss in, there on its own, you put a limit order on its own. And so basically, it said, right, you're above this already, so we'll sell it. And that's what it is. So if you put a stop loss in conjunction with a limit order, what it does is it sells. It only sells if the price is in between those two. So you'd avoid a gap down. So it did bounce back a little bit. So it had gone back up to that level maybe. If it had gone back into that bracket, it would have sold you,
Yeah.
But you didn't have the bottom bracket on. So basically it would sell anything below that 60 pence.
Well, I was very angry yesterday when I discovered that, and I'm not going to make that mistake ever again.
No, I've got to say, we've all done that, but it's phenomenal. Yes. You've got to log these mistakes you're making, because that's the only way you learn, And it is annoying, I know. But did you make a loss, or did you make money on it?
No, I was plus, but it was like, well, it was about 15% more I lost, so it was quite a heavy amount. But the thing is, do you know what the annoying part of it is? Because I bought back in a motorbike without, and I discovered that after I bought back in, and I bought in at a higher price and it sold out. I might as well have just not sold them, and I would have still That's been.
Yeah, well, I got to say, I bought back in. I did buy.
I bought as well.
Who did you sell that, Justin? And how did you have that? You didn't have a stop loss in, obviously.
No, I just sold because I thought we were getting toppy. And I know, I was getting worried about stocks and the stock market rise. I thought, what can I get rid of? It's risen a lot. And I did sell about 60 pence of things, I think. And I bought them at 40. Was it? Let's look at the chart.
Yeah, yeah, I bought at 49.
Let's see.
And it's down. It's gone down even more.
What's nuts, Steve? If you type in NASDAQ on, I'm looking at trading view here charts. If you type in Motive Bio, it'll come up with a NASDAQ listing as well. It's not listed yet, so it just shows they have gone for, you know, the application there, because it's almost listed on trading view as well. Where you can take in, you can have a NASDAQ view or the LSE view. So obviously select LSE.
So will that increase the price then?
Oh, yeah, because they said their peers, you know, the people, similar companies with their kind of pipeline and their kind of products are trading at about 9-6 times their value. A minimum of 5, I think it is. So it should, yeah. I mean, this was really, I suppose, look at that gap down from 60, you're right there, all the way down to literally, it went down to 44. So I bought at, I think, 49.50.
What you were saying about putting a sell order in conjunction with a stop loss.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't that then automatically sell? So if it's 65p today or whatever, and you put a stop loss in, like Steve did, at 60p, and a sell order at 59p, is what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So why wouldn't it then trigger the sell order there and then?
Because if it touched that area, let's stop loss to sell at 60, limit order at 59, right? So anything between 59 and 60, it'll sell at. Now, if it gapped lower straight away in the morning before that and didn't even give a quote at those prices between 59 and 60...
Yeah, just ignore it all.
It would just ignore that. It would just hold it until it goes back into that area. And you can also do that.
Do you need to put the limit order in before? Is there a particular order you need to do that? Or is that not matter?
I think stop loss is... You know, stop loss obviously first. And then, yeah.
The stop loss. Otherwise, you'd put your sell order in. That's what you did with EasyJet. Automatically, it's the prices above what you're seeing. Yeah. Okay, because I didn't know that as well. So that's an interesting.
Do you know that for a fact?
Justin.
No, because I know it for a fact. I've made the same mistake, and I probably lost money on the trade doing it like that. So there we are. But I'm just laughing because you've made so many
Breaking
mistakes.
News, Justin's lost money on this trade.
You've made 4 mistakes in the last every week. You're making a mistake, which is, you know, luckily it's not costing you dearly because you've made a bit of money on the way, and. You know, I mean, apart from, you know, Hagedlund and Oil, where you managed to grab the bottom there perfectly. Unbelievable.
That was last week as well.
That was superb timing, Steve. I don't know, that kind of timing.
Is group at the end, in the end, just.
Blue was yeah. And do you know what? I've got a new feature on the podcast, likes and dislikes. It'll be on the app soon, the thumbs up, thumbs down on RNSs. And Blur is the most disliked RNS on Vox Markets this week. Because dreadful, revenue's down 66%, but they keep pretending. If you look at the top line, the highlights of their. Let me look at it. I'll bring one up, right? The highlights that they've got. It's like they keep pretending. They start off. I mean, all companies highlight the best bits, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But let's go here. I just think. Yeah. No. I mean, when you're always learning. This constantly. It's like I said, when the CFO was, you know. Just stepped down for no reason, you know, out of the blue. And recently before that, they were told about their aggressive accounting policy, accounting revenue that, you know, there was only 10% booked or something. They were accounting the entire revenue. I'm not quite sure the detail, but there was that aggressive accounting. So essentially, they came out with this is operational highlights. EBITDA loss reduced by 54%. Cash burn, excluding foreign exchange, reduced by 58%. And you think, well, hang on, why are they just talking about the cash burn and you know, why are they just talking about revenue or profit or whatever, you know? Enterprise-focused model, producing higher quality revenue streams. Yeah, higher quality, but less quantity. Pilot phases that could lead to rollout programs in progress with a number of large enterprise. So essentially, you go down, project revenue, right? It's down 46%. Total revenue is down 62%. cancellation fee, so essentially gross profit down 103%, you know? And cash balance, what they had there, they got 4 million, they got enough for pretty hard, 3/4 of a year. That was the. I lost money on that, Steve, you know? So you didn't have a lot in Hague and London Oil, did you?
No, not really. Well, yeah, I say a lot. It's a lot of money to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we are.
It wasn't a massive amount, though, in the grand scheme of things.
No, it wasn't one of your £46.50 trades.
It wasn't one of those, no. It was over the £100 mark.
Oh.
That's a pity, there is. There we are. Over £100. but there are stocks. So EasyJet doing well. H&L, stocks. So I bought the Emotive Bio. So I think there's an opportunity there to get in. And like everything, is it too early to start a new experiment, guys?
Well, on top of your...
well, this is the thing. This one. Yeah, so I've got two experiments going, haven't we? One is the penny stocks. You know, we need 100%, you know, one bag each stock. That's Kefi, my first trade there. The second one is our bigger stocks. And this is what Steve did ask this, because he invested in a company and he went up by 10, 20% or something for the first couple of days he invested in. Yeah. So why aren't we doing the experiment on these kind of stocks? The trouble is that I want to do this on bigger stocks for two reasons. Mainly because it's easier to put stop losses in, and you can't really do stop losses on penny stocks. They're so volatile, and the spreads are bigger, that you will get stopped out, you know, on a bit of volatility, because they can be, you know, they can sway 20% easy in one day, up and down, no problem at all. And with bigger stocks, they, you know, behave more on a chart, so you can really look at the chart and look at support levels. And also, I just want, a lot of people say you focus on small caps a lot. I do, because I talk to CEOs of small caps, and I like that, you know, end of the market, and it's very exciting. But also, I think, you know, I do have an interest in bigger stocks as well. So I just think it covers off lots of angles, you know. They behave more, bigger stocks as well, so, you know. So that's mainly the thing. But, so the third experiment I want to try is what I've been doing. You know, you've got to find a system, you know. And it's a system I'd be happy with. I've been trying, messing around with different sort of fractions and percentages and all that for months. But I finally got it down to something I'm happy with. It's not perfect, of course. Nothing ever is. But I like the trading in, scaling in. You know, and after I spoke to that guy, you know, the guy who wrote the book, Lee something something, The Art of Execution.
Memorable.
Yeah, Lee Forshaw Smythe Tidley. Anyway. He said that some of the best fund managers, you know, did scale in at lower levels, and they're prepared to scale in. They allotted a certain amount of money of risk, you know, put it aside, ready. So it's like the old thing we said before, you know, let's say you've got 10 grand in your portfolio, 10% maximum to a stock, and so that's a 1 grand, sort of 10% maximum, so grand, you say, right, I'm going to invest in a company, the maximum I'm going to spend in the stock is £1,000, and I buy that in three trades. So you buy... the first trade you buy, you try and buy it at the best level you can, you know?
Yeah.
But you put, let's say, 300 quid in then, fully prepared to put another, if it's a penny stock, the volatility is higher. So what I do is like a 10% drop. So if it drops by 10%, I put another £300 in. If it drops by another 10%, another 300. And normally, if you sort of judge the value of the stock, the chart is not well anyway, you probably won't get down to the third rung down, but then you can always scale up anyway. And at the moment, I'm doing quite well. Literally yesterday, 18 stocks in my portfolio, one in a loss. That's all I had. And today's changed a little bit, two in a loss. And in fact, that's Motive Bio and a stock I bought recently, which is Prospect Oil and Gas. But so it seems to be working, you know. And I mean, and they are, you know, decent gains on some of the stocks. And I think that of a portfolio of 18 stocks, just having three today in loss, not, I mean, apart from ADL, not big losses, you know, single digit, and the rest, you know, in thing, and it's a system I'm comfortable with and I'm happy with, you know, working out. And like even now, Amrit, which is starting to pay off, and I've liked this for a long time, you know, as AMYT, it's up, it's only started rising last thing, but I'm already 25% up in that. That's because pretty much I caught the bottom, because I just put them in automated trades at sort of levels, you know, 10% down I'm happy with, and literally sometimes when it gets oversold, it's happened to my advantage quite a few times, just gone down the stock on a day, filled the order and jumped back up, because sometimes these are, you know, on sort of oversold areas, so it'll bounce back up. So that's happened quite a few times. So I'm very happy with that. That's why I want to do another experiment. Uh-oh, Daleks Pete's back.
No, sorry about that.
Go on.
Do you not scale in, what if it rises from when you buy it?
Yes, well, you can do that. So if it raises 10%, you can put another order in, say, 10%
above, you know. That's good, but then, like, there's never any guarantee that that's not going to then start to, obviously, wander a bit and start dipping down again. So that's always the risk, isn't it? Like, you buy in. I get you're scaling in as it's going down because then you're averaging down. You're at the price that you pay. That's great. But then if it goes on a nice steady rise, okay, that's great, and you're going in at 10%. But then who's to say that the enthusiasm for that stock starts to wane and the share price copies that and you fall back down to where you bought and you're in a probably, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I can't understand most of the stuff you're saying because I understand. But listen, you still do research docs. It's not completely, you know, based on just putting three trades in. I mean, you still hopefully research docs and believe they have, you know, potential. Like my strategy with penny stocks is hopefully to go with stocks that have, for the majority, the chance to become, you know, almost mid-tier companies. So they have that potential. Now, a lot of them will make it, the majority won't make it, but hopefully, if you buy them at the right levels anyway, you'll make a pretty buck on the way, you know, and before they fail, before realization sets in that they're not going to make it. And I think, you know, anytime we have quite a big chunk of that, it's worth putting a little stop loss in somewhere, with a limit order, you know, to get it, yeah. But no system's perfect, but it's a system I quite like. And I think, you know, at the moment, I wouldn't mind trying it because I've had quite a good success rate with it. And like I said, if it all goes completely wrong, the worst you're losing is 10% of your portfolio. And it's going to be a big chunk. But, you know, as yet, that hasn't happened to me. Because you still have to do research, you know, and look that it's funded and it's a going concern and all that stuff. You wouldn't just go into stocks that are on the edge of going through, you know. So, and you try and buy it at the best level you can in the first trade. But that way, you're guaranteed, if it goes down a bit, you're prepared. You know, you're accepting it. Some people check a lot in first go, and then it goes down, oh, no, and they start worrying, and you sell out for a loss or something. Coming in. Okay. Yes. So I did say I bought, what else did I buy this week? Prospect Oil and Gas. I bought this the day before I chatted to Ed, the CEO, because they did a, you know, surprise placing to raise $775,000, and they got a drill happening, like it's a news item happening, you know, last quarter, the start of the last quarter. So normally, even on the news of some kind of thing happening like that, they should rise, hopefully. And so I thought, so this big dip down on the fundraiser did as an opportunity to sort of scale in. So I put a little bit in there, and if it comes back again, of course, I've done the same, 10% down, I put some more in. But you know, it's like a 3 million market cap, and the potential there is you know, at least 5, 6, 7 times bigger than that, you know, if everything goes right, probably 10 times bigger than that if everything goes right. So I think, you know, risk reward is good, you know, so I went into that. Have you been going into anything this week, Stephen?
obviously got back to Motive Bio. No, I haven't done anything else other than that. So
Peter?
Slow week for me.
Yes, you have. I thought you got into the virtual reality stock.
Oh yeah, no, I did that as well. Yeah, good point.
are you in those, Steve? Sure. That's the EVRH Holdings.
Yeah, I'm in on them. I'm already 24% up, I think.
Well, I know. Me too. Pete missed out, didn't he? Try to get it cheap, very cheap.
No,
just 0.01 pence cheaper than me. I got it 9.99. I got hundredth of a pence under one penny, and you try to go 0.98, and then you didn't get it.
I must admit, I struggled to get the right price because I was obviously hours research doing it, which delayed my time a little bit, you know, buying the stock. But you got in there.
Yeah. You did buy EVRH, didn't you? You must have done, because you've got up quite a bit, because we did say EVR, which is a different company originally.
Yeah, no. Well, it's 25% up, whatever it is, so.
Yeah.
Well researched, Steve.
Thanks.
The thing is, if you look at this company, right, they've got content, one of the biggest content banks of virtual reality in the world. I spoke to the guys on the podcast and at the Momentous events. And we all know virtual reality is going to get bigger, you know, because we've got people like Facebook, Google, they're all into it. Even now, you buy a new Samsung phone, they give you the headset because they want you to use virtual reality. So they want that extra data you're using to go into their bottom line, you know. They all encourage virtual reality.
They give it to you, do they? Samsung?
Yeah, Samsung will give it to you, the headset, yeah.
All right.
And and so, you know, the guys like Oculus provide hardware. These guys, EVRH, has got software. You know, they're sort of content, masses of content. They've got signed up with they got deals with record labels. They haven't released their app. Again, you know, in AIM, a lot is based off news and sentiment, you know. They haven't released their app yet, which is Melody VR. And this will be released, I think, before the end of the year, before Christmas time anyway, when everyone starts wanting headsets and stuff. So I just see this, you know, potential to rise here. And so it's one of those things, you know, virtual reality. If you get a chance to get a bit of exposure in a company like that, you should do, you know, because it could go... It could be a multi-billion company. It could be bought out by, you know, Google or you know, Apple or anyone, or even, you know, Samsung or any one of those guys, if they got a big content bank, you know? And so, they, you know, get in. And it's, the volume's been ticking up. It's been rising, because I got on a watch list, on Voxmarket's watch list, I've got a price alert on it as well. The volume's been ticking up. It's been rising. And I saw a couple of guys on Twitter into it. And I said, John, I'm going to get in here. And even though it's like 2.5% up on the day, I bought... And they end up the day 13.5% up. Next day, 11.5% up again. And I think Friday's up like 4 or 5% again. So it's really motoring, you know? But I still think on a pullback, Pete, you had the fear of missing out, didn't you, there?
Yes, I did. And I did try to buy at around 1p when you were buying, but Harry and Larry were not allowing me to buy, which is...
Well, that wasn't their fault. There was lack of stock about. I mean, there is lack of stock about, I think. Yes. And that can happen in penny stocks. God, look at the chart on that. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. Yeah. But no, that does happen. There was lack of stock around. Can you see the chart there, though? I don't remember, 8.5, where literally you've got doji, two dojis there. That means, you know, a tiny little body on the candle and two long wicks either side of it, you know? Mm. And that means indecision. And they had that a couple of times. Didn't go anywhere. One, two, three, four, five, six trades. And then all of a sudden... Big volume came up, or sort of biggish volume came up on, what was that, the 7th, 26th of the 7th of July. And it went up, it broke out at that range, went above the 20-day moving average. And then it stayed a couple more days, dojis. Again, more volume came in. And you look at the volume, it's really good. I mean, you know, and you think, right, and I bought on sort of a day there, just sort of thing. But yeah, I think it's worth, I mean, it will pull back. And you watch, you know, you can't keep rising at that stock. It doesn't keep rising. Right. And if you, but trouble is, you will take your eye off it, probably. Be looking at other stocks. That's why price alerts are handy. So, you know, it's worth having a price alert there. At where would you put it? Let's have a look, because this is only a small chart, because they were Armstrong Ventures, and the chart has only launched. Their IPO price was around about a penny, I think, back in May. So, I don't know where they come back to. Maybe 1.2, hopefully. Don't buy it on after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days of a rally. But wait, and then when it's come down a couple of days of sell-off, you know, put your first tranche in, you know? You're not the same.
Yeah.
It's better have a little bit of skin in the game than no skin in the game.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But is there still struggling with stock now?
I don't know. You could always... I mean, always worth doing is going on, you know, your stockbroker's there and going for a live quote and seeing how much you can, you know, get sometimes. Sometimes they give you nothing. I've done that with lots of small stocks. You have to call them up. They can put it through manually. Like at Barclays, they'll charge me internet rates over the telephone because they can't... You know, I can't get a quote on it on the internet. Which internet rates are obviously cheaper. It's sometimes worth trying it. Just see if you can get it. You probably get it now, but if a lot... Because it's risen so much, you probably get a couple of people selling, you know? So, yes, but there's a lot of talks. Stock is tightly held, and so it's hard to buy. But it's definitely one to put on your Vox Markets watch list because the potential there is big. Have you tried virtual reality? I'm one of these cynics, right? I thought, oh, so what? And it's been messed around with, talked about for years, isn't it? VR, virtual reality. But now it's coming to his own. I tried these guys. Thing is content. It is very good. It's very impressive. Literally, standing in a concert, you can look around you, up and down you, next to you. You can position yourself where you want to be, and it's like real time. And if it's like real
time, it's virtual reality.
I know, but I didn't think it'd be that good. A little headset, that's all you put in your face. I didn't think it'd be that good. That's why I was sold on it a bit. I thought this is impressive. This is quite impressive, and it takes a lot to impress me. And I can imagine people actually, you know, doing a lot more of that stuff. And I saw a report recently of Sky News yesterday, saying people now who've lost limbs are helping, what was it, feel their limbs again with virtual reality. I thought, that's phenomenal.
Wow.
It has so many applications, VR, you know? So I just think, you know, it's a space that will get bigger. And at the moment, I think they are the only in London, someone said in the world, the only, you know, dedicated content VR sort of company that's listed. So you can't get a lot of exposure to to a company like this. I mean, if you want to get exposure to VR, you have to go to bigger companies, you know, but as a small company, so it's worth looking at. EVRH is the ticker. Ocean.
And they're building up to the launch of their app in a month or two. But now it's one of those things where will that then see a spike down because people, well, you know, once it's actually come to fruition, you get the whole buy on rumor, sell on fact. Where do you see it going from there?
Yeah, it could do. I mean, it does happen a lot, doesn't it? And then you may have the fact come in and it comes back a bit then. But hopefully, you know, what happens in situations like that, it's like, this is where it's ideal, especially small stocks. So I put in, you know, just one tranche out of three in this stock. So, and I was taken off. I'm not going to put any more money in yet. But once that comes back, then maybe I will put some more money in if I think it's got legs, you know? And so hopefully then I'll be, you know, almost 10% up already, 10, 20% up already, even when it comes back. So then I can put some more in and just get a bit more stock there if I think it's worth it, you know? But it's always good to have a little bit of skin because you obviously pay more attention to the stocks you're in than the ones you don't. So,
okay.
Well, why not try an experiment? Just buy now, today, or whenever you can, and just put a third in and see where it goes. And say, and just put automated. Listen, you shouldn't take my advice. Steve's always blaming me for taking it. But I mean, you know, if you're prepared for it to drop 30% and you still buy more, 30% lower, then, you know, around about that level, then, you know, that's why I want to start this new experiment, you see. So I think it's a good little system. Send out a little spreadsheet for everyone, or you just type in the stock and it'll fill out your positions at which you buy at.
Yeah.
And so I allocate this much to that amount there. And I put the actual limit orders in on the first, second one in straight away. As soon as I bought, I put the limit order for the next one in straight away. Because then I know how much cash I've got overall in my account, you know, so to be used.
Yeah.
So it's worth doing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Okay. All right, we'll have a look at it.
All right, what are you any plans for the weekend, guys? What are you doing at the moment of the weekend?
I'm going to sunny Devon.
I see.
Yeah.
Steve, are you going there too?
No, I've not been invited.
No, that's right. And it's going to stay like that.
And so what, you got no plans then?
I don't know. I might do some shopping tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, I need some bin bags. So I'll probably go to the range.
Brilliant. Won't you spend most of your weekend researching shares?
I think when we come to a subject level of where I'm going to get some bean bags. I think I'm going to the range. I think, you know, we can pretty much say the podcast has come to an end there. I think,
think?
It literally doesn't get any lower than that. Scraping the bottom of the bin barrel. Steve, so Steve, what is wrong with the bin bags in Asda? Why the range?
Because I can't get the brand that I want in Asda.
Right.
The brand of bin bags? What kind of brand do you buy?
Jeez.
They're bin bags. They carry rubbish, essentially.
Mm. Yeah, but I've got to get the ones with the letters on.
What letters? Wow. Gucci and stuff.
Letter sizes for my specific bin.
Have you got like a Samsung bin?
Yeah, no. I never know how to say it. Is it Barbantia or Brabantia?
Yeah,
Brabantia. Oh, you mean an indoor bin?
Yeah.
Again, I can't believe you're talking about this. No, right, guys, that is Steve's highlight. He's going to arrange to buy some bin bags for a Brabantia bin.
For a specific bin.
Wow, Steve, just take some pictures and put it on social media, yeah?
I will.
Yep. I'll share. How about yourself, Jus? What are you doing?
I've just pumped up the paddling pool now.
Perfect.
Yeah, not for the kids, for me.
No.
All right, guys. Cold. Yeah, have a nice weekend then.
Yeah, I'll try. Okay, bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.